Earlier this month, the Bush administration announced that it won't seek more reconstruction aid for Iraq. Simultaneously, the U.S. has reduced reconstruction aid in Afghanistan from $1 billion a year to a little over $600 million. On January 4th, speaking at the Pentagon, Bush announced that American forces in Afghanistan would be reduced from 19,000 to about 16,500 during 2006, turning the South over to NATO. Juan Cole, the progressive Middle Eastern scholar at the University of Michigan, believes the troop pullout is a good thing because Afghanistan is not a country that will accept a large foreign military presence, especially that of an imperial power, for very long, and because NATO has more legitimacy than the U.S., an interesting admission. Nevertheless, Cole sees the loss of reconstruction aid as tragic. Cole asks, quote, "How many times will the U.S. get deeply involved there, help throw the country into chaos, and then just walk away?" End quote. Conservative Jamestown Foundation analyst Akram Ghizabi points out that Afghans remember bitterly the aftermath of the war against the Soviets in the 1980s, when the West, led by the United States, left Afghanistan to the mercy of local powers, resulting in the reign of the oppressive Taliban regime. When the Taliban were overthrown, the Afghans, although fiercely independent, welcomed the presence of U.S. troops, which, Ghizabi says, they perhaps naively considered to be liberators. Their fears of being abandoned once again were rekindled when the United States sent troops to Iraq in 2003. In a recent article, the New York Times reported that, quote, "Britain and the Netherlands will join Canada in assuming control in the South, along with a much smaller contingent of American support troops." But that's not quite true. For openers, the Dutch government is in disarray about its NATO participation in Afghanistan. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Jan Peter Balkenende tried to paper over the cracks within his three-party coalition and in Parliament by announcing that the government is 100% in favor of the deployment. But that's only partly true. Ministers of his Christian Democrat Party and Liberal Party have given qualified support, but junior partner D66 is opposed. D66 deputy Bert Backer told magazine Elsevier that the center-right coalition government will likely collapse if the mission goes ahead. According to ANP journalist Henk van de Pol, superficially, the doubts in the Netherlands center on the dangers of the mission and fears that prisoners taken by Dutch troops may be executed by the Afghan authorities. But below the surface, it has a lot to do with the trauma of Srebrenica, when a lightly armed Dutch force, denied air support, surrendered the enclave to Serbian troops in 1995. The Serbs massacred up to 8,000 Muslim men and boys. Recalling how doubts about that mission were ignored in 1993, Boris Dietrich, leader of D66, is determined not to jump onto a speeding train this time. Van der Pol feels that, in contrast to 1993, the deployment plan is excellent, the lines of command are clear and in the hands of NATO. The Dutch will also be supported by several hundred seasoned Australian soldiers with further backup from F-16 jets and Apache helicopters. At the beginning of the month, however, Defense Minister Robert Hill confirmed that Australia might delay sending a planned 200-member military reconstruction team to Afghanistan because of Dutch indecision about sending support troops to the region. The Australian team would rely on the Dutch troops for logistics, protection, and other support. Colonel Don C. McGraw, who directs U.S. military operations in Afghanistan, says, quote, "It's understood that NATO will be in a position to carry on the same counterinsurgency fight that we're running today," end quote. In fact, where Afghanistan is concerned, the terms peacekeeping, reconstruction, and counterinsurgency warfare are used as if they meant much the same thing. At the end of December, Canadian Colonel Bowles said the Canadians will assume responsibility for Kandahar. He also said that his force is prepared to extend the offensive nature of the operation. It's clear that this is not a peacekeeping mission, he said. What exactly is this offensive plan? There are now unconfirmed rumors that 100 commandos from the elite Joint Task Force 2 are leaving for Afghanistan this month to prepare the ground for the 2,000-member battle group. As Sean M. Maloney, who teaches war studies at the Royal Military College of Canada, says, provincial reconstruction teams are not peacekeeping missions. They exist to extend central government influence throughout a nearly post-apocalyptic feudal land. The goal is to combat insurgency using a variety of lethal and non-lethal tools. SFU's Canadian-American Strategic Review offers this advice for those thinking about the Canadian mission to Kandahar. Quote, be prepared for casualties. Accept them with stoicism and honor the dead. No country committed to exporting justice, liberty, and prosperity to the world's benighted areas should shrink from the goal every time a warrior falls. End quote. In the UK, it was announced in September that Britain would send more troops to Afghanistan, making a total presence of 5,000 UK troops under the NATO command of Lieutenant General Sir David Richards. Major Andrew Elms, a British spokesman for the NATO force, officially called the International Security Assistance Force, or ISAF, said he expects its soldiers will primarily serve in a peacekeeping function, unlike U.S. troops who have been initiating battles with the insurgents. Quote, if you think of a policeman who is armed but he doesn't go out looking for a fight, that's along the lines we're looking at, he said of the expanded ISAF mission, which will add 6,000 soldiers to the 9,000 currently in the country. France has withdrawn her U.S. and NATO-commanded jet planes. There will be a total of 1,250 French soldiers in Afghanistan. The Kabul mission will receive 450 new soldiers. There are already 200 French soldiers in the south of Afghanistan. France refuses any military duties. Germany will expand its troops from 750 to 3,000. The Kashgar World News says that 500 will remain in Kabul, while the rest will be based in Mazar-i Sharif. Germany, like France, refuses military duties. Denmark confirmed the possibility of an additional 190 soldiers. Lithuania will be leading a NATO-led provincial reconstruction team, joined by Croatia and Azerbaijan. New Zealand pulled its 50 SAS troops out of Afghanistan. 94 Army, Navy, and Air Force personnel will be in Bamiyan until June 2006. Sweden is to add 300 to its nearly 100 troops working on reconstruction in Mazar-i Sharif, northern Afghanistan, for a maximum of 2 years. In all, there are now 11,000 ISAF soldiers from 37 countries stationed in Afghanistan. Writing for the blog Index Research, Sarah Meyer calls it a NATO quagmire and says, quote, a recipe for disaster is in place. All the participating countries have a different agenda and none share policy coordination, end quote. Simon Jenkins, writing an overview of Britain's role in Afghanistan for The Guardian, called the UK troop additions, quote, the half-baked product of Tony Blair's global machismo. Someone should make Blair read General Sir Rupert Smith's recent study, The Utility of Force, says Jenkins. His view is that an exaggerated faith in high-tech armies against insurgency is now leading the West to create one ruined nation after another. General Smith points out that operations like those in Somalia, Afghanistan, and Iraq are not like the Falklands or Gulf Wars, where the military aim was to eject an enemy army from occupied territories. They are, rather, wars among the people, in which missiles, gunships, fortified bases, and search-and-destroy missions are usually counterproductive. The enemy is not a state vulnerable to kinetic force projection, but rather a miasma of conspiracies, hidden loyalties, and lasting hostilities whose combatants know no boundaries." End quote. A large foreign military presence, even from NATO, may do more harm than good. On top of that, attacks in Afghanistan are now running at more than 500 a month. It's getting as dangerous for Westerners as Iraq is in some places. Jenkins says flatly, quote, "Everything I have heard and read about this expedition suggests that it makes no sense. British soldiers are being sent to a poor and dangerous place whose sole economic resource is opium. They will sit there as targets for probably the most intractable concentration of insurgents, Taliban, drug traffickers, and suicide bombers in the world until some minister has the guts to withdraw them." End quote. Canadian troops are headed out to the same place. Let's hope the minister with the guts to do whatever is necessary will be one we are about to elect in 7 days. That's it for this Monday. If you'd like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.